This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Busy hour on tap. In 30 minutes, Linda Cohn. Olympics hockey. Who she likes in the Canadian game against Team USA on Sunday. Her thoughts on today's action. And then she'll be followed by Eddie Olczyk, who was just on the games today and all. The entire 2 weeks over in Italy. Right now, we talk college basketball. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line as longtime better and handicapper Bruce Marshall joins the program. Hey, Bruce, good afternoon today. How are you?
Hey, Mitch, pretty good, man.
We've talked a lot today about the Miami game tonight, taking on Bowling Green, and I pointed out that when they played on December 30th, Bowling Green was actually a 6.5-point favorite. Well, fast forward today, Miami still doesn't have a loss. Another lane 8 tonight here at Circa. Total is 154.5. What do you like?
Well, by the way, historical note, we are just beyond 63 years to the day, which would have been 2 days ago, when Bowling Green also knocked off an unbeaten team in late February that would actually go on to win the national title. That was Loyola Chicago, and that was in 63 with Nate Thurmond, the star for that Bowling Green team. Now, the historical note for the night. Now, can Bowling Green do it again? Well, tonight they're in Oxford, so they, like you said, it's the second meeting. Yeah, they were favored that first game. They were down 26 at halftime the first game. It looked like Miami could just score whenever it wanted, and that scoreline at the end flattered Bowling Green. But they've been pretty uneven this year. I just can't see Bowling Green going west here tonight and putting up a real fight, or south, actually, to Miami and putting up a fight here. Miami staying undefeated here, we know about that, but look at those offensive numbers. They lead the nation in scoring, over 93 per game. Almost 54% field goal percentage, leads the country, runaway leader in that. Fourth in three-point shooting. All these guys, Suter and the rest, can all shoot. So I would lay with Miami O tonight, Mitch, and I might look over, too. You know, this total's crept up a little bit, but I think only three of the MAC games this year for Miami O have landed beneath 154, and that first one certainly didn't. This has been an over team all year, so I'd look over as well.
Really like this St. Louis team. Tough performance off a loss is a big favorite against Rhode Island on the road. It's their only conference loss. Now they're at home tonight laying 7.5 against VCU. Do they bounce back?
I'm not sure they do, Paulie. They could. I mean, this has been one of my favorite teams to watch, and I guess you and Mitch like them too for good reason. They are really fun to watch, and I think Schertz can get any number of jobs he wants after this year if he wants to leave St. Louis. That's not a bad job for a mid-major. But I always wonder about a team that had a long win streak the way the Billikens did and into 18 games. And then they lost that game to Rhodey the other night. And sometimes you don't snap back right away. And I point out now, I mean, look at VCU. VCU is the only team in the A-10 that's really been able to chase St. Louis. They actually tie them for first if they can win tonight. 10
Bubble.
Straight
yeah.
wins for Phil Martelli Jr. Yeah. And the first, I know St. Louis got them by 9 last month in Richmond. That was probably VCU's worst shooting a night of the year. Listen, St. Louis is potent, I know, and Avila is one of our favorite players in the country. But I think VCU might hang around tonight. I just, sometimes you don't snap back after that long win streak ends. This might be close tonight in the Lou.
They might be back in the tournament with a win, as Joe Lenardi said, as this game circled tonight. Before we get to the marquee games tomorrow, let's get in the weeds with the trash. Air Force has lost 19 in a row. They're 3-23 taking on UNLV. What do you think?
Paulie, a couple of things. One, I think Air Force ought to consider following the lead of Army and Navy, which play in the American for football, but play in the Patriot for everything else. They cannot compete anymore basketball-wise in the Mountain West. It's been almost 20 years since they had tourney-caliber teams.
Uh-huh.
This is a mess. Joe Scott got suspended this year. And this is almost – this might be the worst conference season, guys, that I've ever seen a team have. Their loss margin per game is about 28 points, minus 28 per game.
Oh.
And I think they only have one spread cover in all these losses in the Mountain West. I know UNLV is a little unreliable, but I just think you've got to go. This is one of these teams you have to go against every game. They're not competitive. Their best players have transferred out in the portal. One of them's up at Fresno now, left a couple of years ago, Heidbreder, and some others. They don't have any players. They don't have their coach. And they're awful, unfortunately. So UNLV for me.
Good breakdown. Okay.
One more on tonight's card before we really dive into the marquee games. This is another one where we're really diving in deep here. Now, you have a play on Niagara and Mount St. Mary's?
Yes. Our favorite league back here in the Metro Atlantic on Friday. Metro Atlantic, how slow is this league? I think there are three Metro Atlantic teams in the bottom 10 nationally in points per game. Niagara is one of them. Canisius is even worse, and I think Ryder is maybe even worse than them. But Niagara, just not a lot of offense. Now, they lost a game at home to the Mount, 68-58. I don't think Mount St. Mary's is all that bad, but they're not that explosive. Both these teams, I mean, Mount St. Mary's doesn't even score 70 points per game. And they can win games 66-56 is like that first game. I think it was 68-58. I think this one stays under. It's about 130, probably under. I might look to the Mount a little bit. They get Niagara at home here. Niagara has won two of its last four, playing a little better. But I am going to look under in this one, a typical tedious Metro Atlantic Friday night special.
All right, the game of the year tomorrow. Michigan's been awesome since that little lull they had where they were having problems covering big numbers. 2.5 against Duke from D.C., 140.5.
Yeah, and Washington for this one. You know what, Paulie, until I see otherwise, assuming all teams play their best games, I don't think any team in the country can match Michigan if Michigan is playing at its best.
Uh-huh.
I've seen them dismantle some teams back as far as November. We saw them out here in Vegas in November when they beat Gonzaga and all those other teams in the, you know, in the tournament at the MGM Grand and around town. Dusty has done such a great job in the portal here. When you added Lendeborg and Johnson, not only are they functional, versatile frontliners, can do all the dirty work, but they have made a DeMera a much bigger force because he just basically has to focus on blocking shots. Those other guys do the dirty work and the rough stuff, and he alters shots. He not just blocks them, but he alters shots. I mean, he's one of the top shot blockers in the country, but I'd say he alters more shots than anybody in the country because he's so big and he's got so much length. And all those guards that they've brought in, again, most of them from the portal. I mean, this is a marvelous team. I think their best is better than Duke's best. I think they keep Boozer and them in check, and I am not going to go against Michigan ever this season if it's a price like this.
Sure.
Michigan for me.
Sure.
Okay, very good.
Yep. Yep. Mitch wanted your thoughts on this one. You mentioned it a couple minutes ago. You know, the weird situation with Cronin where the guy had the flagrant foul and then kicked him out, sent him to the locker room. He apologized to him. How about Illinois 6.5 and Pauly?
You know, I was just at the supermarket about a half hour ago, and I swore I saw Mick Cronin yelling at the cash register attendant. So he's, I don't know. I mean, he just apologized to Jamerson apparently today, but I think, you know, UCLA's efforts have been really spotty here, and there's so many times they can't get a stop defensively, and the whole Cronin thing. I know they did rise up against Purdue last month, but the way Illinois is playing now. You know, I said Michigan was as good a team when they're hitting on all cylinders as I've seen. Illinois against USC the other night was almost perfect. And this offense, there are so many different guys that Underwood has that can score. And UCLA, the defense and the rebounding, I just don't think they can stay close. If Illinois shows up anything like they did against SC, they will win and cover.
Yep, I totally agree with that. And by the way, you do have one more game tonight. We skipped over this one on accident. Princeton-Brown, who do you like here?
I like Princeton, and they're a slight underdog. It's not a vintage Princeton team. Mitch Henderson's caught a little short. You know, his best player was supposed to be Xavier Lee this year, but he's down at Florida now, helping out the Gators. So it hasn't been a great year for Princeton. They're still involved in the Ivy League race. Davis, their guard, is pretty darn good. One thing about the Ivy this year, there are the constants this year in the Ivy are Yale at the top and Brown at the bottom. Brown has really struggled. They've only got one guy scoring in double digits. They should not be laying points here. Princeton got them the first time. I think they get them again. It's up in Providence tonight, but Princeton has to win here. Only the top four get to the Ivy tournament. they're a game out of fourth place now. They got to start winning. I think it starts tonight with Princeton.
Okay, very good. By the way, in like 90 seconds here, as long as we have you, first time we're talking college basketball now in a long time with you, what are your thoughts on the whole situation in Kansas with Darren Peterson?
Boy, it's hard to say. I mean, when he's there, you know, I mean, he's been such a force, but he's been so, you know, in and out. And now, going on now tomorrow, we got them with the Cincinnati I don't know. I'm not sure I've seen enough for him to think he should be the number one pick. He's been too in and out for me. But I'm not as bowled over as I'll tell you, my sleeper for the first round of the lottery pick is Hans Steinbeck from Washington. Nobody's going to take him over Peterson, but maybe they should. That's my guy I would watch in the lottery.
Okay, I'm going to file that one away. Bruce Marshall here, CBS Sportsline, Vegas Insider as well, longtime college basketball handicapper. Great catching up, man. Good luck tonight and this weekend. We appreciate the time.
Okay, boys, have a good weekend. Thank you.
Yep, back at
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Bruce.
On the Progressive Guest Line.
It's beyond time to be concerned. If you're running an NBA team, you got to think about, I can't do this anymore.
Yep.
I have to go in a different direction. Load managing already and taking himself out of games and missing all these games. Oh, I got the flu. Like the Oklahoma State game. He hits the three and motions to self. That's it.
I know.
What are we doing?
Honestly, it's a horrendous job by his agent.
Yeah.
Did he not think like this could actually factor in?
Yeah, this is
moving forward.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to in-pocket plays early because we still have Linda Cohn and Eddie Olczyk back-to-back talking Olympic hockey coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's children on these games!
I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
We ran it down yesterday. They're one of the best teams in the country, ATS, and they've been good to us. Portland State Vikings get it done again. Lane 3.5 at home and an easy win against Idaho. Did not get enough respect. Best team in the Big Sky. And they're laying short numbers at home in some of these games. So that's a winner. The pending. Miami, Ohio, to make the tournament, no plus 320. Santa Clara, no, minus 115. Santa Clara's got a big one coming up against St. Mary's.
I got to bring it back again. You're Mr. Fun Poison.
Well,
hole-in-one.
Yeah, but this is the one here where you'd want to cash a ticket because of the outrage and how you will feel if they snub Miami, Ohio. I just refuse to believe they're taking three from the West Coast, even though Santa Clara is a good team at 22-6. If they can sweep St. Mary's, that's a nice feather in their cap. But then what? They'll probably meet them a third time out here. But then how they're going to treat Miami of Ohio? Number one, let's see if we can get through the regular season undefeated. That should be enough to do it. Okay. Tonight, we've talked about it. He's on a nice run. 18-8 over on assists. I'm with Zach Cohen on this one. Kevin Porter for the Bucks over 6.5 assists tonight. And gold medal Sunday morning, under 5.5 USA-Canada. Good luck.
You going to watch the house?
Yes. Are we going to go out for that one?
I don't know.
I don't think there'd be a lot of people to book.
Probably not. You want to take that chance of setting the alarm, showering, driving to the book, and then there's nobody there. That's kind of a bad idea. Bad idea, jeans.
Get after it, cocktail. 5:30, drop the puck, let's go.
Loser last night, Nate Clifford. Oh, God, my apologies. That was terrible. I'm done with everything Kings related, unless it's a bet against them.
That was something. That's one and done. That was something.
10 points in the... Ugh. I'm telling you right now.
They had a 10-point lead in the second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
131 to 94, whatever it was. Like, DeRozan played 18 minutes. Westbrook, a few minutes. I mean, it's...
Jot this down. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll admit it. I think there's going to be a narrative around this team. Fast forward a month plus, that they're going to be in the conversation for the worst teams of all time, of how they're trending. All right, new place. So I'm on the Pending. Okay, very cool. I'm on the Pending. I got Rory top 10, four units at plus 150.
All right. He's crazy scores.
Second place right now. Yeah.
He's got like six holes left, though.
Yeah.
So he's two shots back, but he's 10 under through 11. Mm-hmm. Big time
score. These are too low for my liking, actually. I mean, I'm glad that he's in second place right now for the bets, obviously, but I don't want to have the leaders at 12, 10 under on Friday. Anyway, Virginia to make the Final Four, 17-1. These are not full unit bets. I think that number came down to 15-1 at last check. St. John's bet this at Boomers out here in Las Vegas, 16-1. And Arkansas to make the Final Four at plus 1150. They're still super talented. I don't like the coach, but they're going to have nightmare matchups against certain teams in the tournament, and they can go on a run like they did last year. New stuff here. Tonight, I'm on Merrimack minus 3. A buddy of mine has season tickets to Siena. Both teams are good. I think they're, what, 18-9?
Oh, yeah? Is that right?
Yep. And
okay.
He told me 2 days ago, if the number's right, and he made it 5.5, and he goes, if it's below 5.5, we're all over Merrimack. This is the kind of team that will give Siena major problems tonight. G-Unit came on. He likes the under. That's now 134. My buddy leans towards the under. Not a strong opinion on it, but Merrimack is the play. I'm also on Jared Allen tonight for the Cavaliers.
This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's no Evan Mobley, right?
He's done very well offensively since the Harden trade.
Yeah, here are his numbers in four games with James Harden. 15 points and 10 rebounds, 21-9, 22-13, 29-10.
Yeah.
It's 24.5 tonight, points and rebounds. It's minus 122 on that. And then I think this number has moved, but I mentioned this earlier a couple hours ago on the show. I'm on Pacers Wizards under 230 in that game.
Let's keep this going. First half, first quarters, 15-3 to the under yesterday in the NBA with the Russ factor. Upside, what'd you say? Upside, yeah. All right. Find offers near you. I use it. You should, too. Join the 5 million users and earn cash back, groceries, gas, and dining, stuff you buy every day. Use it. Head to the location. Make your purchase and save. Your earnings your way. Big savings. Download the free Upside app. Promo code NETWORK. Start earning real cash back on gas, groceries, and dining. Open the Upside app. Claim a cash back offer at a location near you. Shop as usual and earn real cash back. It's that easy. You can cash out directly to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Over 5 million users already earning. One of the easiest ways to save on everyday purchases. Download the free Upside app now. Code NETWORK. Code NETWORK. Earn 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. It's offer. Awesome. Great reviews. Offers vary by user and location. Upside.com for details. Code NETWORK. Upside.com.
All right. So tomorrow, college basketball. The marquee game of the entire year is taking place in Washington, D.C. Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite against Duke. And that's, you know, so plenty of people today on the show saying they like Michigan.
Man, Bruce, that's a good line by Bruce. That you almost have to take this on the price. When are you going to get Michigan at this price?
You're not. You're not.
And what they've done and how they're so highly power rated.
So I think on Duke's side, right, I guess Duke's power rating and narrative around the team could change if they get absolutely blasted in this game. And Michigan has done that to a lot of good teams this year. What happens to Duke's power rating and the narrative if they win? They look good doing so.
Yeah.
It's going to be, they're going to win it all this year. It'll flip with one game. It'll go from Michigan is the best team in the country by a mile to here comes Duke. They're going to have Boozer. They're absolutely loaded to the gills yet again. Didn't win it last year. They're going to get revenge this year. By the way, like the projection sites, Torvik, Haslam, Greg Peterson, they all have it between 2.5 or 3.5 for Michigan. And by the way, there are no plays tonight with the angle.
The angle.
Yeah, from our producer, Luke.
Great.
2-0 again yesterday.
What do we do with BYU now? A 3.5-point home dog to Iowa State?
Well,
but with Saunders out for the year and...
That's a crusher.
I know.
Guy's really good.
They hung in there against Arizona. That's the other thing. Houston, 5.5 at home to Arizona.
Yeah, I would look at taking that.
all of a sudden it's, well, could they go undefeated? Are they going to win the league? How many games are they going to lose?
Yeah, right. By the way,
we mentioned that, though, because they had that stretch before BYU started losing. They had 6 of 7 games against top 16 teams. It's unprecedented.
Crazy. The conference is so good. And for that game alone, Torvik makes Houston 4. Haslam makes Houston 2.5. And Greg Peterson, who came on earlier, and if you missed it, you can always listen to the Follow the Money podcast, makes him 2, as he said. Makes a total 142 in that game. G Unit makes Iowa State 5 at BYU. Everybody else 3 or 3.5, the way it looks. Tennessee's also playing at Vandy. Vandy's 3.5. Haslam has Vandy 5. G Unit has him by 2.5 in the game. So some other good games. Missouri Arkansas should be fun. 161 is a total there. And then Kansas is intriguing every game because you don't know what's going to happen with Peterson.
Yes.
There's that.
That is a tough call. But it's certainly something you're going to have to think long and hard about if you run an NBA team.
I would agree.
You see one guy, well-known talk show host, said there's no way in hell you can take him number one. But this is not doing him any favors. And it's really getting out of control with how much time he's missing.
On that note, did you see the latest report with the whole tanking stuff? There was now a GM who said that they would pay $100 million for the first pick.
Well, that's what it says what it's worth.
Well, yeah.
Said what it's worth, yeah. That goes back to what I said yesterday about I'll just give them a blank check. If they're going to fine me $500,000, I'll go up to a $5 million fine. Whatever. I'll just give you a blank check. I need the number one or number two pick.
Right.
But I saw that. Guy says, I think the value of it would mean $100 million to the franchise to get the number one pick.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Notice it on Twitter. Don't know who it was, but they made the case that, okay, here's what we're going to do. If you lose by 12 points or fewer, right, that's going to be considered one thing. But if you lose by 13 points or more, we're not even going to consider it. Like, that's not going to technically be a loss because you're basically, they're going to say you're not trying. So that means that you're just trying to tank all these games and lose, and you don't care if you lose by 50 like the Nets did yesterday and the Kings did last night. So we're going to put you into two different categories. And because what we're asking for here is like integrity of the game and to be competitive, right? And to go out there, don't mock the sport overall. And like they would never do that. Of course, the league would not, but there's something there to it, I think.
And then you expect fans to pay full boat and price.
Yeah. With how much prices have gone up.
I know. How about Cuban coming out and backing it? Oh, you got Luka, but you also, come on, our fans loved it. That's crazy what Cuban said. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to, you can't, there's no solution to me. They have done 7 different things to tinker with this when they started this, going back to Olajuwon and Samson. Well, I think it was Sam, but Olajuwon. They've 7 different times they've tinkered with this, and how do we prevent it? How can we stop this?
Get rid of the lottery. Right? Get rid of the ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Silly anyway. Linda Cohn next. Her thoughts on the gold medal match on Sunday here on Follow the Money. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on Visa.
Welcome in. Live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, as always. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard here on a Friday. Paul, you want to talk about closing a show and closing a week as strong as possible? This is how you do it right here. Great job by Luke and everybody involved, as the great Linda Cohn is kind enough to join us for a couple of minutes here on the Progressive Guest Line to talk Olympic hockey. Linda, can't tell you how cool this is to jump on the program today. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Always great being on with you, too. Really enjoy it.
So let's start with the early game today. And Canada, again, down 2-0 of Finland. They come roaring back to win that thing 3-2. That's on, 2 days after going to overtime, and they were almost dead and buried against the Czech Republic. The betting numbers for Canada would tell you that they're by far and away better than these teams that they're playing. Mm-hmm. The results on the rink tells us a different story. So which one do you think it is? Do you think the opponents are actually better than we think? Or is Canada maybe not as good?
I think, you know, the prelims, you can't really go by that. Canada dominated the prelims. You know, teams that they played were really not up to par compared to the teams in a, you know, knockout round, right? Everything changes in a knockout round. You lose, you're out. And so that's what we saw from both the Americans and, of course, Team Canada in their respective games and in the quarterfinals, because both these teams had serious scares. They would have each gone home early and disappointed all their fans from their respective countries. And they both escaped in that quarterfinal round. I was a bit surprised with Canada today, this morning, against Finland. I knew Finland was good. They, most of the team, if not all, is NHL players on Finland, by the way. But I still felt that, like, Canada, even without their captain, Sidney Crosby, they would have come out flying, like thanking their lucky stars they were still in this tournament after almost being upset in the quarters. But they came out flat in the first period, and then they turned it on the second. Of course, their power play is lethal, and in the end, that's what won it for them. And they've been known, they've really been the comeback, not kids, but their stars have shined. It's the Mac attack. Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, and of course the 19-year-old Macklin Celebrini, who, guys, oh, by the way, I mean, you can make a case he's been the best player next to Connor McDavid in this tournament. I just can't get over the composure. He's 19, and he's playing with grown men, and he's so cool and calm and creating.
USA had an easy time of it today, but they did give Slovakia a lot of opportunities with some penalties. I'm with you that this Canada power play scares me, but how important is it that USA stays out of the box Sunday?
Absolutely. I did like, now Canada's game, remember, for them, you know, they got the Tom Wilsons and all this. They have the edge to them. They have Brad Marchand. They have guys that'll get under your skin, but so do the Americans, and Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk. And both those guys do have to be careful. It's a very good point you make, especially against Canada's lethal power play. But I love the game. I know it was just Slovakia, but the Americans came out flying in this game. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to leave anything to chance. You know, coming in, the Slovakian goalie was actually stood on his head in these, you know, they were the Cinderella story led by their goaltender. But, you know, with Dylan Larkin striking first, that set the tone. And ever since the move was made to move up Jack in the game against Sweden in the quarterfinals, Mike Sullivan moved up Jack Hughes to the line of Dylan Larkin and Tage Thompson. And they have been dominating. I was scoring, putting the puck in the net. I was concerned about Team USA's depth going into this tournament if you compared it to Team Canada.
Okay.
But actually, how it's played out heading into this gold medal game, it's Team USA that has showed off scoring depth, getting goals from all sorts of players, while Canada is really dependent on that number one line of, you know, of McDavid, Macklin Celebrini, and of course, Nathan MacKinnon.
The Thompson goal, the second goal of the game, incredible shot. I don't know how we found the space to get that in. So we both played the position. I want your thoughts on this. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I think if someone's going to give up a softie, it's Binnington. But who has the goaltending edge, in your opinion?
As much as I love Connor Hellebuyck as a human being and a regular season superstar, he hasn't been tested, really, as much as Binnington. And I put my money on Jordan Binnington. The guy wins big games. The guy knows how to play at his best in the big stage. Yes, you can make a case he's given up a, not a softie, but, you know, in one of the goals today and also one of the goals against Czechia. With all due respect, by the way, you know, but when you need the guy as in Binnington to make a tough save, what does he do? He stops breakaways or, you know, all this kind of thing. That's what he did. If it wasn't for Binnington, Canada wouldn't have been in, even in the semifinals, because he made some really big stops at the right time. It's going to be close. I'm, you know, I'm American. I'm a New York girl. I'm rooting for Connor Hellebuyck because I'd love to see him win a big game. And on his resume, even though he'll be in the Hall of Fame with his Hart Trophy and Vezina trophies and regular season excellence, the guy is not known on that resume to be good in the playoffs, right? So he's always had bad playoff games. This is his chance to really kind of, I don't know, really improve that legacy that he has. But if I was to bet, and I know Show talks about betting, I put my money on Binnington.
Would, yeah, because, okay, if you like him, and you were talking about how at this point you like the depth of Team USA compared to Canada and how they have played so far in the playoffs, the Binnington edge over Hellebuyck would probably be enough to put you on Team Canada then.
Yes, because going into this, I thought Team Canada was definitely going to win gold. Now, it's a lot closer than I thought it was going to be now. The way U.S. has developed, coaching staff has made adjustments, things like this. Hellebuyck not letting up any easy goals. He's just been solid. It's Connor Hellebuyck being Connor Hellebuyck. Mm-hmm. He's stopping all of the easy ones. But I believe he hasn't been tested. The U.S. is doing a great job defensively. And oh, by the way, I do love the Americans' defensemen. I love the Zach Werenskis of the world. They're just, all of them are solid defensemen. Where in Canada, you have the Cale Makars. You know, obviously, Americans have Quinn Hughes and all that, which is amazing. But you have Cale Makar. You have more of an offensive type defenseman with Canada. Shea Theodore scored a goal for Canada. Big one, the tying goal today. So I think you're right about low scoring. But I think the guys like Brad Marchand are gonna and Tom Wilson, guess what they're going to do? They are going to be bothering and trying to get into the head of Connor Hellebuyck from the jump.
Mm-hmm. So this, I don't know, a lot of people, this is a polarizing topic, it seems, but how they decided the gold medal in the women's between USA and Canada, how do you feel about 3-on-3 overtime?
Here's what I'll say. I know I saw all the tweets. I saw everybody, you know, and some people never watch hockey say, what's this 3-on-3? You know, and there were some people like, wow, this is exciting. I'm like, don't you watch regular season hockey? Obviously not. Yes, 3-on-3, we love. Most of the complaints are from people who say, yeah, we like 3-on-3, but not for a gold medal game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll give you that a little bit, but here's the deal. I have no problem with it. You know what I say to those people? That it's not fair that a gold medal is decided in 3-on-3? Guess what? How about winning it in regulation? You solve that problem. You didn't win it in regulation. You take your chances on 3-on-3. I had no problem with it. And I would say the same thing if Canada won yesterday for the women. I have no problem with it. It's part of the game. Figure out how to play it and defend it and take advantage of it. But I always say, and I've said this with the NFL too, if you have a before they changed the overtime rules in the NFL, you have a problem, win in regulation. I don't want to hear the complaints.
Fair enough. In about a minute here, what do you make of the start time for the gold medal game? 8:10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
I know most of the world couldn't care less, but here in the States, it's essential that this game should be starting much later than on the West Coast, 5 a.m. in the morning. I'll get up, but I'm a hockey nut. Most of the country, at least on the West Coast, is not getting up. The Midwest is barely getting up. The East Coast is barely getting up. It's Sunday. You guys said it best in the break. They could have owned Sunday. Just like the Four Nations gave the NHL a huge boost.
Yes.
Because it was on a normal hour and the ratings were great. Guess what? This is on so early. This could have broken major ratings for a hockey game of any sort. But now, because of the start time, I don't think so.
Linda, absolute pleasure. You're the best. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Thank you so much for the time.
You too. Thanks for having me. Anytime, guys. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Cohn, SiriusXM NHL Network Radio as well. As long as, SportsCenter anchor for 30-plus years on top of it. Eddie Olczyk's thoughts. Does he agree with the goalie situation next?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. We go from Linda Cohn here on a Friday.
Yes.
Into the great Eddie Olczyk, who's been on the games on NBC and Peacock the entire time over in Italy. It is still early, I think, where he is at. Or am I wrong with that, Eddie? Thanks for the time, pal.
Buongiorno. It is, let me think here, 12:40 local time, which is already Saturday morning. And you know what? If I can say this, tomorrow morning, there's going to be a gold medal matchup between Team USA and Team Canada in the men's Olympic competition here at the Olympics in Milan. So yeah. Great to be with you guys. It's been a long trip. It's been a lot of great hockey, and we're going to be able to see the matchup I think most people thought would happen, but it probably got a little scary for a couple of teams here in this tournament to see the eventual matchup between the Canadians and Americans. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the time here. So we just talked to Linda. She gave the edge to Binnington and Nett over Hellebuyck. I think every person I've either heard or talked to has said the same thing. Where are you at with that?
I mean, I can't argue that, but I think if you look at the way that Connor Hellebuyck has played better and better in this tournament for Team USA, I would honestly say it's a coin flip. And I will say this is I was thinking about this during the game, and you know, it's not the time and place, you know, in doing the game or whatever. And I thought I might get to it, but I just kind of kept it under, but I guess I'll say it now. I feel with watching Canada and watching the Americans so far in this tournament, I feel like Sunday's gold medal game's got a chance to be 5-3.
Oh,
6-5.
Holy smokes.
I just have this feeling with holes on either side when it comes to the offensive push from the other teams. You're going to get your chances. And I think when you give up chances in the offense that both of these teams possess, now how's the game going to be called? Is it going to be
good call?
Three power plays for Team USA and two for Canada or vice versa, whatever it is. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that it's got a chance to be a higher scoring game in that gold medal game. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think it's got a chance to be one hell of a game. And what goaltender could make the save when you need it more so than maybe when a guy gives up one that's soft or shouldn't go in. And then are you able to overcome it, if that makes any sense? So one game showdown, the puck can bounce a lot of different ways. But I would say it's more of a coin flip than giving the edge to Binnington, because I think Connor Hellebuyck's really, as I said the other night, closing off on the win over Sweden. That was one Hellebuyck of a game between the U.S. and Sweden. And Connor Hellebuyck was right in the middle of everything good for Team USA.
What do you think happens with Crosby?
Well, my teammate Brian Boucher said on the broadcast is that he had a feeling that Sid would play. I'm not sure. The speculation is that he did skate today, which would have been a great thing, but obviously not good enough to play. For him to go out in that game the other night against Czechia, I mean, the guy had to be banged up. I mean, I was lucky enough to be his first coach in the National Hockey League back in 05-06 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The guy has been all world his entire career, and for him to go out of an Olympic game, I mean, he must have been banged up. So to what extent, no idea, but if he can play a little, it might be a huge lift for the Canadians. But I would just be guessing, Paulie. I really wouldn't want to say, but we'll see how it all plays out in about 40 some hours from now.
Give us some keys. How can they make it easy on Hellebuyck, or easier, and stay out of the box? We know that with the potent Canada power play. What are some keys that you see for U.S.?
Well, they've done a good job of staying out of the box, Paulie. Like, I think they're the second again, don't quote me, please, because all these games are mixing and matching, you know. I think they're the second fewest penalized team in the tournament, which has been a good thing, and that was a point of contention for sure. Power play, absolutely. But, you know, the U.S. has got a pretty good power play, mm-hmm. too. Now, the U.S. locks Tage Thompson tonight in that game. He didn't play in the third period for precautionary measures. Did not see Mike Sullivan's post game about, you know, this, you know, the severity of why they kept him out. But I agree with you. But I also think is that you got two guys in that game on the back end, one for each team, in Cale Makar, the terrific defenseman, and I think the best defenseman in the NHL for the Colorado Avalanche, playing for Team Canada, and Quinn Hughes. I had somebody ask me the other day, guys, about Quinn Hughes, who now plays for the Minnesota Wild. They asked me, do you think Quinn Hughes is a top 15 player in the league? And I was like, hell yes. He might be top 10, the way that he is able to really control the game. So I look at one of those guys is really being a factor in this game, and especially when it comes to facilitating the offense, because they have that ability. So discipline's going to be obviously an important part, especially teams. If you get three power plays, can you get one?
Yep.
Because I think if both teams do get three power plays each, I do believe is that both teams will score at least on one power play. I do. And the U.S. penalty kill is absolutely perfect.
Yep.
And the reasons why Vinny Trocheck and JT Miller of the New York Rangers, who a lot of people felt should not be on a team, one of the big reasons why they made it is because they're versatile and they can kill penalties. And right now, Team USA is absolutely perfect in the penalty kill. So I would look to those specific areas of being real big keys on Sunday morning.
Okay, so when Canada defeated U.S. in Vancouver in 2010, that game went to overtime. Yep. Sidney Crosby scored the game winner. If this game goes to overtime and we get the 3-on-3, who has the edge then?
Well, don't forget, in 2010, it was 4-on-4 at that time. They played 4-on-4.
It was different then, yep.
So exactly. So now, you know, look, I think you have to give the edge to the Canadians just because of the McDavid, MacKinnon, Makar trio. But I will say is that when you can put out Quint Hughes, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, you're not that far off, to be honest with you. And it becomes a puck possession game in overtime. If you win the opening faceoff, it's almost like the old football rule, right? A couple of years ago there when the Chiefs got the ball and nobody could get it back because they scored. It's almost like that in hockey now. It's almost like, how many times have you seen it? I think I've seen it at least 3 or 4 times this year in the NHL where a team wins the opening faceoff in overtime. The other team never touches it and they end up losing. It's almost very similar to that analogy. But I just think that on both of these teams, I do believe in overtime, it does become a coin flip as well. And if it gets to overtime, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm an alum of Team USA. I played in the Olympics in 84 for Team USA. I played on a bunch of world championships. I'm proud to be an American kid from Chicago that played in the NHL for 16 years. And I'm honored to call the games on NBC. I try to stay down the middle and call it the way it is, but I'm just telling everybody right now, I'm going to be bleeding red, white, and blue. I'm going to be sweating red, white, and blue on Sunday. And I'll say this, and I'm going to touch on this on Sunday. For an American-born hockey player, at least for the men's side, our greatest rival has always been the Canadians. We've had a tough time beating the Canadians, so they have not looked at us as their greatest rival. They look at us as maybe, you know, I don't want to say a cut below, but certainly we've closed the gap. And rightfully so. Like, if there's a rivalry or, you know, the respect factor, the other country, the other team has to beat you every once in a while. The greatest rival for Canada in hockey and men's has always been the Russians. And I think for Team USA, the opportunity is there to take that next step, because it's been a long time since 1996 when Team USA won the World Cup of Hockey, when it was best on best, USA against Canada in a 3-game series. And I know we haven't won a gold medal since 1980, but like, this is an opportunity in half to really take down your greatest rival, regardless of what they think of you. And I think that has a lot of the undertone and the underlying energy of this game on Sunday. And I hope everybody tunes in, because I'm hoping that this is a game that really could showcase what, as you guys know, and, you know, Paulie, I know you're a hockey kid growing up. Like, it's a great game. And I think if we can have a great game on Sunday, it's going to be great for everybody.
I got goosebumps. That's how good it was right there, listening to you talk. Amazing job calling the games. Have another terrific call on Sunday, and maybe tip back a glass of vino here for a nightcap. Eddie O, thank you.
See you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Be good.
Thanks, Eddie.
Prime time's next.